Again, it is my joy to welcome you to this service. What we've done a few minutes ago is incredibly important in the life of the congregation. And on this occasion, it is even much more important to us because here we celebrate, I'll say, three generations or four generations of consistent baptism through a family. I spoke with Doreen and wanted to know how delighted she is about today's occasion. It is incredibly important, and I suppose to her, to be here to watch the great grand being baptized. And for us as a congregation, it is also important because it helps us to renew our own commitment to God, to remember our time of baptism, the vows we made on behalf of our children, our families, years past, and to sit here and to think about how far we are getting on with all the vows we've made in the past. In this service, we are thinking about Christians who are persecuted. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this might not be the best of messages for you to hear. Perhaps we needed something else for you. Imagine that you visited an Arnold Clark outlet. I use Arnold Clark because I patronized them recently. And it is not in any way promoting them, running a promotion for them. Imagine visiting it to shop for a new car. And the salesman or salesperson who is showing you around takes you for a test drive on your choice car. And then as you turn out from the parking lot, the salesperson says, "Please, could you please stop?" And then the salesperson begins to tell you, "My friend, I'm really sorry, but your bones will be out of joint 3 hours in this car. So you should as well begin to think of a possible physiotherapist who will help you walk upright. Again, I'm really sorry, but the cost of this car you want to buy could make you bankrupt. And not only that, when you drive this car down the street, everyone who sees you will wonder if you are out of your mind." Now, can you imagine that kind of situation? Nobody who wants to make a sale will say such a thing. In fact, some of the businesses we know in town, they have slogans that are very catchy. In fact, there's a shop, was it in Edinburgh that we saw that, or maybe somewhere, and they said, it was in Edinburgh. They said, "Just come and see, don't even buy, just come in and see." You know, so they are not even asking to come and buy. They say, "Just enter and shop around with your eye, no commitments." And those are business strategies that people use. Because in most cases, when you enter into the shop to look around, you might end up finding something you like, or something you like to come back for some other time, or something you recommend to another person. That is really what we find in the business world, because people want to stay in business. If this is the case, one begins to wonder what Jesus was thinking when he said this final beatitude: "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As we can see, the eighth beatitude, like the first seven, is completely opposed to everything the natural person can ever think of. In this beatitude, Jesus is offering a word of comfort to his disciples who will be persecuted because of him. Jesus never sought to induce people to follow him by fallacious words. In John chapter 16, verse 2, he says, "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. This situation is not far from what we see every now and then on the telly. Displaced homes, displaced communities, churches that are burnt down, and people who are running away for the sake of their lives. From the beginning of history, those who sought to live righteously have always been persecuted. You can see that through the pages of Scripture. Jesus himself was persecuted. He was punished. He was crucified in a way that was most inhuman. And the New Testament also provides illustrations to show how those who followed Jesus after his crucifixion were imprisoned, some of them were flogged, and some died. In the first century, second century of Christianity, some of them were burned alive. Some of them were thrown into the lions. Then, and people will come around to watch them, how they are eaten up by lion. There was a period of martyrdom. A lot of people died for the sake of the faith. And until Constantine the Great came into the scene, when he now made Christianity a legal religion, many died. And in our own time today, many are still dying for the sake of the faith. On 9 July 2016, Eunice Elisha, a pastor with the Redeemed Christian Church of God in Nigeria, was murdered between 6:30 to 7 a.m. when she went out to preach in the early hours of the Saturday morning by some religious fanatics. Her microphone and mobile phone was found close to her body. The Express newspaper of 29 December 2016 quotes the director of the Center for Studies on New Religions, who mentioned that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world, with more than 90,000 killed in 2016 because of their faith. When you read news or listen to news from Pakistan, from Iraq, and from different parts of the world, we hear of churches to a burnt. And it's difficult for us to imagine that because of the safe space we find ourselves. That right now, this minute, there are people who are on the run. During my year in U.S., I worked with the Agape Fellowship. And it's a Christian fellowship of Rwandese, Congolese, and Burundese Christians who flew away as a result of the war in their country. Although they're presently in U.S., they are still in that long journey of rediscovering themselves and coming to terms with the loss of their entire family in the course of war, the loss of congregation as a result of war. And for some of them, it's a trauma they deal with, they struggle with, and they hardly come to terms with. And so there are people in communities in different parts of the world who are living each day very close to the grave. Over the years in the UK, there has been a rise in an aggressive kind of secularism, which is intolerant to Christianity. And when you listen to news, you also hear about some Christians who sense that their symbols and activities are being marginalized. In some situations, we also hear of Christians in our country who see their beliefs as most unacceptable to their employers and colleagues. Again, it is not uncommon for Christians for Christian characters in dramas to be presented as narrow-minded and timid. While this may not constitute persecution as can be seen in other parts of the world, the situation I've just described fosters an attitude of mistrust in which prejudice, stereotyping, othering can thrive. In whatever situation people, God's people may find themselves, Jesus' word to us today is that there is a blessing for those who are persecuted for the sake of Christ. As we make our retiring offering today, it is not just an offering of money. It is an offering of our prayers. It's an offering of our support. It's an offering of our heart that goes out to people in Sudan who are daily living very close to the grave. In this life, we sometimes meet unexpected circumstances, tragedy and trials that take us from one place in life to another in an instant. But God's word to us is this: no matter where we are, no matter where you are in life, no matter what has happened or what is happening to you, to people you know, to our communities, God is still there. God is not withdrawing. God is not changing. As he was yesterday, so he is today, and so he shall be forever. God does not go on sabbatical. Even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. No matter the changes of life, no matter the circumstances we may find ourselves in, we are never alone. There is an unseen hand of God that is able to carry us. There is the unseen hand of God that is enfolding us and bringing comfort and peace to our hearts. And so we need to look up to him. And when we do not need to fear, because he will always bring peace and comfort. Amen.